Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter number 5, Acts chapter number 5. I've got a handful of chicken scratch notes in front of me, and because I'm not on purpose wanting to rely a whole lot on what's written down, I asked the Lord to give me enough on a piece of paper to give me a little direction, but I really want to just share my heart with you tonight. We've been teaching on Sunday nights, soul winning. We started 2 weeks ago with just the nuts and bolts of preparation, the approach, and then last week, how to take the Word of God and how to, with skill and with passion, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, incorporating your own personal testimony into the presentation. And I pray that already some of you have begun to do that, to step out and do that. And tonight I want to talk to you on this subject, and then next week what we're going to do, the last Sunday night of our soul winning series, we're going to do a soul winning demonstration. So 3 out of the 4 weeks is more nuts and bolts, and tonight is a little bit different, but it still is very, very important in developing soul winners at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to preach on this subject, developing a church-wide soul winning vision. Developing a church-wide soul-winning vision. Let's stand to our feet, please. And I'm going to begin in verse 34. And I wish we had the time, and later, please, read the entire fifth chapter of Acts. I mean, if you're really going to run up to the key verse that we're going to highlight tonight, it would do you some good to get a little background. But I think we'll just start in verse 34 and give us somewhat of a reference point, a little bit of a run towards what we're going to speak on. Acts chapter 5, verse 34, "Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space." What that means is the apostles, let me catch you up, were in trouble again. Here they were under arrest again, and somebody in the Pharisees had a little bit of sense. And they said, "Why don't you set them over a way where they can't hear us, and let's talk about what we're about to get ourselves into here." Verse 35, "And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, and in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd meet with us. And Lord, this is one of those services where hopefully we will raise our eyes a few more degrees, look beyond, Lord, perhaps what we're now seeing to the things that we have yet to see. Look, Lord, at fields that are white to harvest. And Lord, we pray as you commanded us to for labors for the harvest. Brother Hodge mentioned this. There's always a need for laborers. How many more could have been saved had there been not laborers? I think that will be the testimony at the judgment seat in every church and every mission endeavor. If we'd have just had a few more, what more else could have been done? And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to enlist the full body of believers here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church into the soul-winning endeavor. We pray these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Our focus point is going to be on verse number 42, because I think verse 42 is key in developing a church-wide soul-winning vision. I love it when God orchestrates a service, and I feel like He's done this since we walked in the door. I about fell out of my pew when Brother Hodge said people were being saved daily. And then he smiled and said, you know, isn't that New Testament Christianity? And I said to myself, amen, Lord, thank you for the confirmation. I needed to hear that. I think we all need to be reminded of that. The verse number 42, let me read it to you again, says this, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And we're going to teach through this verse just in a moment, but I want you to see this verse with fresh eyes. You see, this isn't just a verse that is part of a history lesson of something that happened hundreds of years ago. This is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and it's for us today. The reason that the New Testament church saw the miracles that they did was because of the involvement that they had. Let me say that again. The reason that the New Testament church saw the miracles that they did was, at least in measure, because of the involvement that they had. Now, I'm not discounting God, but I guarantee you, you get me two Holy Spirit-filled soul winners to go out visiting, or you get me 20, and I guarantee you that God's going to bless the 20 and give 20 more than two. And you know what? To a large extent. And by the way, if that wasn't true, Jesus wouldn't say, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He send forth laborers. So you can't argue this scripturally. I know little as much and God is in it, but I think that sometimes we're just a little too satisfied with a little. I think also much is much when God is in it also. And God wants to take and use every single one of us as a soul winner. You say, Brother Jerry, you've been on this hobby horse. Yeah, I've been on it for about 25 years. I don't look on getting off of it anytime soon. So what's it going to take to satisfy you around here? Every single person that's saved involved in soul winning. That's what it's going to take. Well, how often? How about this? Daily. All right, we just all start soul winning. We all start doing it every day. And you know what? Then I'll not get off of it, but I can spend a lot more time encouraging instead of maybe rebuking or exhorting. Stay with me. Keep your heart open, folks. I think the Holy Spirit may sneak down your pew and tap on your shoulder before this whole thing's over if you let Him. But I believe this. I think that we as a church, it's not enough for a pastor to have a soul-winning vision for his church. It's very important that our entire church develops a soul-winning vision, a vision of souls and reaching souls here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now let's just take a look at this verse for a couple minutes, and I'm going to show it to you in three different lights, okay? Number one, let's see this verse fulfilled in the early New Testament church. All right, first of all, let's go back to the story and let's go back to the time and place and let's understand a little bit about what happened. Now, I could take you, if we had time, back to the beginning of Acts chapter 4. And let me just say this, the New Testament church just got shot with an explosion out of a cannon. And I'm telling you, after 10 days of prayer meetings and people going out and hitting the streets and telling folks about Jesus, there was a great wave of genuine conversions and people's lives being changed and the church growing at an astounding rate. And that happened in chapters 2 and chapter 3. And guess what? Chapter 4, it only takes a couple chapters of that before the devil shows up. And the devil came along and said, you know what, I got to put the stop to this. So he stirred up those that would be against the church. And there's always those that'll try to stop the work of God. Folks, that's no new thing. It's just part of what we've got to face. But in chapter 4, all of a sudden there was arrests made and there was apostles being put on trial and apostles being reprimanded and threatened. And then in chapter 4, they were simply threatened and released. And so they went back to the church and they got on their knees and gathered the men and gave a report and then had an old-fashioned prayer meeting. And the Holy Spirit came down again in power and they went out and started doing it all over again. So then here we get into chapter number 5, and guess what? We've got what the book of Acts is titled, at least Schofield has written in his notes, the second persecution. And again, Satan sends another wave of persecution. And again, apostles are arrested and apostles are held accountable for their actions. They were reminded of the fact that they weren't allowed to preach. They weren't allowed to go soul winning. They weren't allowed to go in the temple and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Let me just read a couple of verses to you. In verse 17 of chapter 5, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And I love this. I wish we could tell you the whole story, but my goodness sakes, they got arrested for this and they thought, well, I'll tell you how we'll stop them. We'll put them in jail. So an angel shows up that night, gets them out of jail, sets them outside. And you know, I don't know about you, but most guys that get broken out of jail, they kind of, you know, go find a patch of woods to hide in, or maybe they decide it'd be better for them to go to some other town. But God broke them out of jail with specific instructions: go stand and speak in the temple. So they went back to the very temple that they were arrested the first time, and there they were the next morning preaching and instructing the people. Well, they went to get them to bring them before the Sadducees so that they would answer, and they show up, and you know what? Nobody can find them. The doors were locked. The guards are standing there. They're not there. Well, what in the world happened? And they're searching and scurrying around, and about that time, here comes somebody running from the temple, running from the synagogue. Say, hey, those guys you arrested, you know where they're at? Where? They're right where you picked them up the first time. They're back in there doing the same thing, preaching the gospel, talking about this Jesus, that he rose from the dead. And you know what? It's interesting, because when they went to get him the second time, they went a little more respectfully. The Bible said they were fearful of the people. They asked them if they would come with them. And then we begin, of course, the rebuking process, the threatening process, and all that the apostles faced all through the book of Acts. Now, when you think about all of this, folks, because listen to me, in chapter 4, the persecution started, but all it was that they were detained and threatened. Then chapter number 5, they were imprisoned, put on trial, beaten, and then released. And by the way, go through the book of Acts. The persecution intensifies and intensifies and intensifies until apostles are being martyred and the church is being scattered. And a man named Saul is chasing believers all over the area and persecuting them, even into foreign countries. And you know what? The devil doesn't like soul winning. The devil doesn't like soul winning. The devil doesn't like it when a group of people get excited about the things of God, you see. So they fulfilled this verse in the light of their circumstances. Now stay with me. We can sit there and just read verse 42 and it's spectacular all by itself. But it takes on an increased gleam and increased glitter when you see the context in which it is written and the circumstances in which they carried out these actions. Listen, folks, persecution was coming. They'd been threatened. They'd been beaten. They'd been whipped. They'd been humiliated. And you know what they did? They walked out and had a little old-fashioned, this is the only place, one of the few places I can find a true praise and worship service right here in verse number 41. Then they didn't need a praise team to lead it. They just got out there and got excited about the things of God and got rejoicing. And you know what? And they said this, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy. Boy, these words shame this generation. It shames the church today. These words are an indictment against us. And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Tell you what, you say just boo to the average Christian that's doing something for God, and he'll tuck his tail and run and quit and say, well, I tried, but it was too hard. Shame on us. Shame on us. In verse 42, when it says, and daily in the temple, you know what? From that day forward, they went back to that same temple. This is the same temple that they've been taken from twice and arrested from twice. And where were they the next day? Right back there again. And not only that, but they said, you know what? I'm glad that people, some of the folks are coming to the temple, but not everybody's coming to the temple. And this news is too good so that just to keep to a handful. Listen, we've got to do some scattering out here. Let's go to the homes of the people that aren't coming to the temple. Let's one family at a time, one person at a time, one mom at a time, one daddy at a time, one teenager at a time. Let's share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ door to door. And you know what? They started the first door-to-door soul winning project. And you know what, folks, listen to me. That's not a fad. It shouldn't be a fad. That is a biblical method to reach people for Jesus Christ. Baptist churches all over our country's jumping off the door-to-door soul-winning bandwagon. Shame on them. I'm so tired of hearing preachers look at me with a constipated look and trying to look spiritual and start telling me how, you know what, that just doesn't work in this day and age. Well, there's people sitting all over this room right here that it worked when somebody went by their door. It worked when somebody stopped and gave them a tract. It worked when somebody shared the gospel with them. I mean, there's people that bowed their head in their living rooms right here in this auditorium, right, Brother Bo, and got saved because somebody came by and knocked on a door and said, let me tell you about Jesus. Amen. And so, folks, that's the vision. And that's how they operated. Even after the beatings, even after the threatenings, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And they said the next day, let's just go back. Well, if they arrest us again, then we'll just get arrested again, but let's go back. Let's not only... listen, let's not take a step backwards. Let's take two steps forwards. Let's turn the heat up. Let's go door to door. And let's get the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. What's important about this verse is this. Not that they just went back to the temple and to every house, but what they did there. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see, they went with a vision. They went with a message. They went with the gospel. You know why? Because the gospel still works. So just for a moment now, we took a couple minutes here and we see this verse fulfilled in the early New Testament church. Say, okay, Brother Jerry, what else should we do with this verse? Well, I enjoy seeing this verse fulfilled in the early New Testament church, but I want to see this verse fulfilled in my life. Let me just preach to Jerry Ross for a minute. Can I just do that? When I read that verse, I say to myself, I want that to be my testimony. I want that to be my testimony. Folks, listen, getting the gospel out is not just Sunday work. Getting the gospel out is just not Wednesday night work. Getting the gospel out is not just Saturday morning adult visitation work or Wednesday afternoon teenage soul winning work. Getting the gospel out is daily work. Daily work. And I want to develop a pattern like I never have before. And this month, God stirred my heart about this. Jerry, listen to me. It's good to have scheduled soul winning opportunities. I'm going to talk about that. And I believe that church members ought to be involved in the scheduled soul winning opportunities of the church. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we go to our Saturday morning or Wednesday afternoon or whenever we go soul winning, we check that off the list. And, well, I've done my soul winning for this week. But, folks, the sharing of the gospel ought to be a daily activity. A daily activity. I've really worked hard in the last 6 months to get back to passing out the number of tracts that I used to earlier on in my ministry. You know, we ought to have just an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival of emptying out the tract rack every Sunday night and getting the gospel passed down. I don't know about you, but I'm probably the worst person on earth about sometimes getting so headed towards trying to get to a certain place, trying to get something done, and I'm so goal-oriented that it just about hurts me sometimes. But you know, in the midst of going through life and trying to get done all that we need to get done, we constantly rub shoulders. We constantly come in contact with lost people. And we need to get back to passing out some old gospel tracts. I went to McDonald's. I went over to the funeral home and met with JR and his family. Saw Brother Tim. Of course, Brother Tim's related to this dear man too, and his family. And then I decided I'd swing through McDonald's to get some holy water. And some people call it coffee. I call it holy water, amen. And what's really neat at the McDonald's now, you used to just in the old days only have a one-window opportunity to share the gospel, but now they're so high-tech, you have a two-window opportunity to share the gospel. And they said, it'll be so much money, and pull up to the first window. And I said, all right, I'm going to get to see two people. Now what I do, and I've started doing this, and I'll tell you, I've probably passed out dozens of more tracts daily just by doing this. But I take my wallet, and I don't, you know, I have a little different kind of wallet than some of you may have, but I leave in my wallet some gospel tracts laying right there, because whenever I open my wallet to pay something, they're right there. I don't know about you, but when they're here, and I'm not against you, I guess, but sometimes I don't think, I'm so thick-headed, if I don't see it right in front of me, I don't remember sometimes. And I open the gospel to pay for something, and there's the tract laying right there in front of me, and I said, amen. And by the way, when I give a gospel tract out, there's two things I want to mention: Jesus Christ and Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. You know, when I give both of those ladies, the money lady and the coffee lady, when I gave both of those, by the way, they put your cream and sugar in for you now. Can you believe that? Praise God. Amen. That's a blessing. I'm trying to help some of you here. Amen. Brother Jerry, I think coffee's of the devil. Well, amen. Me and the devil, we enjoy a cup every once in a while. And who put that? I got to find out who put that comic strip. That's a whole nother story down there by the. You got to see the things that end up down there by the coffee pot in our school. I'll get to that later. So, but when I give them a gospel tract, I'll tell them, listen, I want to give you a little something you can read on your next break time, and it tells you about Jesus Christ, tells you how much He loves you. Then I'll say, you know what I would love? They'll go, what? I would love for you to come and visit Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Come see us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? I'm glad I'm a member here. I'm glad I'm a member here. I know that I can invite a complete stranger to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and when they come in here, y'all will love them. I know that. I'm confident about that. I'll tell folks, you know what? Now listen, they may not like me, but they'd like y'all. I know that. And I said, you know what? You'll walk in the door and people will love you and people will make you feel at home. And why don't you come see us? And both of those gals got the brightest smile on their face and said, you know what? Thank you. One of them said, thank you. That is so nice of you to invite me. Now we've got this conjured up in our mind that the first time we ever take a track out or knock on a door, you know, a serial killer is going to come to the door. Or first time we try to hand somebody a tract, they're just going to grab us by the throat and say, I hate Jesus, I serve Satan. You know, that's only happened to me two times this week. That doesn't happen that often. So. That don't happen. And we, man, the devil can make us frightened, and we just are convinced somebody's going to hate us. And you know what? The average person is touched in their heart. By the way, you don't know what's going on in their lives, neither do I. Boy, the Lord directs you to somebody and gives you an opportunity to witness to somebody. Hey, what you saying, brother? I'm saying that ought to be a daily way of living. That ought to be a daily way of living. Well, you're stuck somewhere and you got a few minutes. Someone else is stuck there too. Instead of spending 10 minutes talking about the weather and the Cubbies and their chances this year, why don't you share your testimony? Why don't you say, hey, can I share something with you? The most amazing thing happened to me a few years ago. It's just absolutely changed my life, changed my family's life. And just brag on God, brag on Jesus. And then give them a gospel tract. Say, has that ever happened to you? And folks, we ought to make that a way of life. You see, when I see this verse, I'm glad it was fulfilled in the early New Testament church. And we certainly see the results of that. But I also see this, I want to see this verse fulfilled in my life. My life. I snuck over yesterday, the day before, and got a Subway sandwich, as I'm wont to do sometimes. And always give those gals a gospel tract and talk to them about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They probably got a collection of them underneath the counter about that wide and that deep. There's a guy that owns a gas station in town one time told me, if I ever remodel my gas station, I'm going to use as wallpaper the tracts from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because I've got enough of them to do the entire inside of the gas station. Amen. 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 Somebody read the wallpaper and get saved. Amen. We'll take it. I see this verse fulfilled in the early New Testament church, but I've got a burden, I'm preaching to me, to see this fulfilled in my life. Could I just maybe overstep my bounds a little bit and ask you just to pray for your preacher? If you'll pray for me and pray specifically, God, embolden my preacher to be a strong witness for Jesus Christ as he goes throughout the community, you would be doing me one of the greatest favors you could ever do me. And I need your prayers. I want to be a strong witness for Jesus Christ. Now, last of all, let me talk to you and chat with you. And this is where we're just going to chat, and I'm going to share my heart a little bit, and then we'll pray and go to the house, okay? I see this verse fulfilled in the early New Testament church. I want to see this verse fulfilled more and more in my life. But also, I want to see this verse fulfilled in our church, at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, you just keep staring at that verse and let it work on you. By the way, this verse is one of them that's posted underneath the map at the back. Brother Jonathan, would you go pull that map off? That poor map's been stapled up there and ripped down, stapled up there and ripped down, stapled up there so many times. And you say, well, Brother Jerry, you're bringing it up again. Yep, and I'll probably do it again and again and again. You see, folks, I don't know how you feel, but I can't walk through the foyer without this thing touching me and challenging me. You see, this is our Jerusalem. And you know what? This is our direct responsibility. Okay, well, Brother Jerry, there's other churches here. Listen, then you know what? They'll answer to God and we'll answer to God, but I'm not counting on anybody else. I think we need to reach every single person in our Jerusalem. Anything that's done by any other church is just bonus, but Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to reach everyone. You see, I just believe some things. Sorry, I grew up listening to going to sword conferences and listening to Dr. Rice, and I grew up listening to Curtis Hutch, and I listened to B.R. Lake, and I believe there's a hell. I believe there's a hell. I believe that if you don't get the gospel to people under your influence, that you're going to stand before God at the judgment seat with the blood of those people on your hands. I believe that. I can't get away from those scriptures. I can't get away from it. I'll drive down through a section of our county that I haven't been through in a while, and I'll think about the people behind those doors and wonder when the last time someone from Blessed Hope got to those doors, and how can we get to them quicker. And folks move in and folks move out, and do we miss them? And sometimes people aren't home, and how long before we're back again? And those things haunt me. I can't get away from those things. You see, I think getting the gospel to every single person within our area of influence is one of the most important things we accomplish here. I'm all for worldwide missions. Brother Hodge said it well. Let's reach the person around the corner and around the world. But you know what? This is our responsibility. This isn't anybody else's responsibility but ours. And I want to see us blanket this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, who should we reach in this circle? Every house. Every house. You see, until we're reaching consistently and regularly every house, we're falling short of what the Bible says that we're to do here. We like the results of Acts, but I'm not sure we like the work ethic of Acts. We like the results of Acts and the stories of Acts, but we don't want to reproduce those same ingredients in our life and in our churches. And I'm just for old-fashioned door-to-door soul winning. Amen. And I think I'm in a place for that too. Now, there it is. Now, how do we reach this circle, Brother Jerry? And by the way, we've got, Brother Hodge, I wish I had time to tell you everything and just pray for us. This is a man that I'd like to spend a lot of time with if I could. And I know he's busy and I'm busy, but I can tell that his mind percolates and he's always looking around saying, how can we reach one more? And I'm going to tell you that we are kindred spirits. But I look within my Jerusalem and think, how can we reach more? And I look across our Judea. We're going to this spring launch some Judea projects, and we're identifying, as you are, in the mountains all across southern Indiana, small churches that are struggling, and we, along with some sister churches and good brother pastors, are joining together to go and help and strengthen some of those churches and do some soul winning from some of those churches. I'm sorry, my cell phone. The devil's in the cell phone, amen. Technology, all it's done this whole service is mess up, amen. So, we're going across southern Indiana. We're going to try to do in our area what you're doing across the mountains there. Hey, there's some people out there that are struggling. There's some people out there that don't have the manpower, the resources we do. And we're not a rich church and we're not a big church, but we can go help somebody. We can help somebody. We can be a blessing to somebody. And this is the kind of thing that I want to stir you about. But let's talk just for a minute about our Jerusalem. How do we reach our Jerusalem? Well, let me give you several things. First of all, let's talk about this daily thing for a minute. Because I think we can reach, the only way we can really reach our Jerusalem is, number one, if we get every person involved, and number two, if we get you involved on a daily basis. I think that we ought to leave here and all of us decide that for the next 7 days, not just this week, but in weeks to come, we're going to make it a lifetime goal, a lifetime mission to just be busy every day as God opens doors and gives us opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, Brother Jerry, when's your soul winning planned? Well, it's planned from when we leave here this evening until we meet back here a week from now. That's our soul winning schedule for this week. Honestly it is. There's guys here work second shift. There's guys here work third shift. Listen, we scatter to all corners of this county and other counties around us. We ought to scatter as missionaries. We ought to decide we're going to spread the gospel. We're going to pass out tracts. We're going to invite people to church. We're going to carry around our soul-winning New Testament. And when God gives us an opportunity at break or lunch or somewhere, we're going to open it up and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be daily, have the mindset of doing this daily. It ought to be a daily burden, a daily activity of our lives to just be able to give the gospel out. Let me give you some other things. I got to thinking about reaching our Jerusalem and involving us all through a Sunday through Sunday soul winning. I mean Sunday through Sunday soul winning as far as all of us wherever we go. I'd like to also see some other things. I had one of the missionaries that was here during our missions emphasis month, and they were preaching, and one of them hit this verse, and the Holy Spirit pricked my heart, and boy, all of a sudden a light bulb went on, and I took out a scratched piece of paper, and while he's preaching, I'm writing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, I'd like for all of you just in the course of life to be out there soul winning during those times. But let me say this. I think even as a church, we ought to do a better job of organizing daily soul winning. Organizing daily soul winning. I know this is radical. I can't wait for some of you to finally get on board just to do one day before I go forward and do some more. But I would encourage you, get on one day. I mean that. I encourage you to find times to go soul winning. You know, now let me just give you a plan. Oh, Brother Jerry, if you knew my schedule and I'm busy, I understand that. But folks, listen to me. We will do what we sense or seek or believe is a priority. We will do what we determine as a priority. You find time to eat several times a day. You find time to go to the Terre Haute several times a week. You find time to do what you decide is important to do. That's just the honest truth of it. Now, I do, you do. We just do. So sometime we've got to find in our schedule a time to go soul winning. And I got to thinking about this, so I wrote down, I said, okay, let's start with Monday. And I said, you know what? Monday we have rearranged the church schedule some, and we have our staff meeting on Monday. I told Brother Reiser this the other day. I said, let me tell you what we're going to do on Mondays. We're going to come in here and we're going to meet. We're going to get some office work done. But on Mondays, we're going to kick a lot of these things off that I'm talking about during the month of April. We're going to spend March teaching on soul winning, and then we're going to kick some of these things off. But I told him, I said, you know what we need to do? We need to have staff soul winning on Monday. And we need to just decide that the staff, listen, it'd be a shame, it'd be wrong, it'd be corrupt for us to expect the church members to do something we won't do. And by the way, our staff does go soul winning. But I said, you know what? We could take Monday. And some organized soul winning plan could go from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I've got laying in there on the counter about 15 or 20 visitor cards. And some of the folks that came here yesterday, and some of them left here unsaved. And praise God, some of them walked out and got saved this morning. But you know what? There's some visits that need to be made. There's some doors that need to be knocked. There's some souls that need to be witnessed to. And so we're going to do that. And then I got to looking at Tuesday, and I thought, Lord, what are we going to do? And I know that this is a need and has been for some time. And I believe that this is the time and this is what we ought to do. But I don't have all the details yet, but ladies, just keep your ears open, because we're going to start on Tuesday mornings ladies soul winning. Ladies soul winning opportunity. We've got gals around here that want to go soul winning. And by the way, we're not just going to have ladies soul winning. We're going to work it out so that we have people here to watch children, so that that frees you up to be able to go soul winning. And let me just say this. I want you to think about that and see if that might work out for you. I don't care if it's 2 ladies, 5 ladies, 20 ladies, but I'm going to have ladies soul winning. And we're going to get some of our ladies involved here, some of our staff ladies to help oversee that. But I know that God wants us to do it. And we're going to go knock on some doors. By the way, we're going to need some people that will help and come and watch some kids while these ladies are going out soul winning. This is what I thought the other day. I thought, how do you get somebody to come in and just watch kids so that people can go soul winning? And I said, you know, here's how you do it. You offer them large sums of money. That's my first thought. You know, if you can't inspire, then bribe, amen? Then I got to thinking, I thought, you know, here's the shame of it. If I said, I need four ladies or teenage girls, and I'll pay you $30 every Tuesday if you'll come here and spend a couple hours, I probably would have a list of resumes. But I've got some better payment for you than that. The souls, part of the credit, part of the reward for the souls that are seen saved out on visitation. You know, at some point, we got to just get back to understand that this thing doesn't happen unless people are willing to sacrifice and do some things. And whether we do it, whether we rotate it, we'll work something out, or whether it's the same people that just take it on as a ministry and said, you know what, I'll free some ladies to go soul winning. We're going to have ladies soul winning on Wednesday afternoon. Wednesdays. I'm thinking about daily, folks. Daily. Now, I know we ought to all do it on our own, but what about daily? Daily. What about daily? And then, of course, I thought on Wednesday, and I want to just thank Brother Jonathan Reiser and those other adults that go and help out. But you know what? One of the most exciting things that happen around here is every Wednesday afternoon after school, when all of our young people get on an old bus and head to one of our communities and go out, 30, 35, 40 teenagers and adults knocking on doors and winning people to Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel. Young people, you have no idea what a tremendous testimony that is for our church. I mean, people in this community are absolutely astounded that we have teenagers that are polished and trained to walk up, look people in the eye with a smile, and respectfully, but with boldness and compassion, invite them to church, present the gospel of Jesus. You say, well, Brother Jerry, not everybody's happy. I'm going to tell you what, you're always going to have that. But I'm telling you, the community, I hear it over and over and over again, they are impressed. You know, listen, here's the thing. I hear churches all the time talking about how burdened they are about this community and how burdened they are about souls. But you know what? Talk's cheap.
That's right.
Talk's cheap.
Right.
You know, how are you willing to rearrange your schedule? Are you willing to take an entire afternoon? I mean, and Brother Reiser and others around here, I mean, folks, Wednesdays, just forget it. I mean, Wednesdays from 6 in the morning till a lot of times 11 at night. You know, we just go. We don't stop. But you know what? It's important. And I kind of think that's what was going on in this chapter too, some. These folks didn't quit their jobs. Still had to work. Still had to exist. Still had to, you know what they did? They just found time every day to go. To go. Then I got thinking about Thursdays and Fridays, and we're going to put up sign-up sheets, and we're going to kick this program off. But I mentioned this to you the other day, but I'm a little worried about us not getting to all of the different townships. Every color that you see here is a township. This is Clay County. This is Greene County. This is Sullivan County. This is part of Vigo County. And up here is even part of Owen County. You know, our church in its circle reaches into five different counties. And all of those townships need to be carefully, systematically visited and covered. And I love rural America. I'm just going to tell you, I like soul winning in rural America. I mean, boy, you never know what you're going to find at the end of some gravel road. Honestly. And you think there's nobody living down there? Well, you better go check, because I guarantee you somebody's pulled a trailer in there sometime. Well, there's a little house built down there at the end of that road that just might shock and surprise you. I've gone to some dead-end roads thinking I'd find an old trailer or you know, a still or something, you know. And found a $250,000 home. I mean, folks, there's people everywhere. And we're to go into highways and byways and compel them to come in. And I've asked you to consider this. And again, I'm not going to browbeat anybody and do anything. Listen, if you do something because I talk you into it, then the devil will talk you out of it. But if you do something because the Lord lays it on your heart, you'll affix your soul to that and you'll carry it through. So I'm not pressuring you. And if you can't do it, I understand. But I would like to see some of you go a little above and beyond. And I'm thinking about some veteran soul winners when I talk about this. I'm talking about some people. And you don't have to be super Christian or super soul winner, but you know a little bit about what you're doing. That would say, you know what, me and my wife or me and my family or me and my brother here, well, somebody's going to team up together and say, Brother Jerry, we'll take one of those townships. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to maybe take Lewis Township and say, Brother Jerry, sometime in 07, weekly, we'll peck away at it and we will thoroughly cover every single door in that township with the gospel. We'll just take that as our mission field for 2007, and we will thoroughly cover it with the gospel. And then this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to ask God that in the course of the year of you covering that township, that God would give you in 07 one family out of that township that would become a part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now you think about that. I hear a lot of folks saying, well, I'll tell you what we need around here. We need more families. We need more families. Well, yeah, we do. But you know how you get more families? Let me tell you what we need around here. More laborers, more laborers, more labor. You know, don't come to me telling me what the solution is. Come volunteer to help with what the problem is. Amen? And so somebody just say, I'll take Jackson Township over in Sullivan County. I'll take Curry Township over in Sullivan County. I'll take Wright Township. And by the way, you don't have to do the towns. You don't have to do the high populated areas because our teenagers hit them. And so we're talking about the highways and byways. We're talking about the rural country roads. And then you think about this. You say, well, Jerry, what if God would just answer our prayer? What if we had, I got in this circle roughly 12 to, we have 12, maybe up to 15 counties or townships that we could give away and assign. And what if we had people take those? And what if they said, not only am I going to deliver the gospel, but I am going to pray and I am going to get a hold of the horns of the altar and I'm not going to quit till God gives us a family out of that township. Could you imagine by 2008 having 15 new families at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Amen. 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 You see, folks, listen to me. We got to get away from denominational thinking. Yep. Soul winning's not just a preacher's job. Amen. Yes, sir. Soul winning's everybody's job. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. And so, isn't that exciting when you think about that? The possibilities of that? We've been visiting in Harrison Township on Saturday mornings. And we're down here where the river is, and I've been down in this area right here along the Eel River. I'm going to tell you stuff. There's homes down there. You can't believe where there's homes. And you know what? People come out on the porch and sit and talk with you. People will stand at the door and talk with you. People will listen to the presentation of the gospel. We've had some wonderful visits over there. And you know what? I expect God to bear fruit from what we're doing. And God has already allowed us to see some souls saved and hopefully some families eventually come to the church. And so just think about that. Could I put your name on this township? Could I put your name here, your name here, your name here? Now here's something else. Let me throw this out at you. This is exciting, man. Let's say that you say, Brother Jerry, I'll take Jackson Township over in Sullivan. And me and my wife, we have been trained to be soul winners. Maybe we're not the greatest in the world, but we know a little bit about how to do it. Let me ask you this. If there was another couple in the church that wanted to do this, but they didn't know how to do it, could I hook them up with you and let them figure out a time they can go with you and you could train them to be soul winners? Now, this is just a thought, and we're done, okay? But think about this. If you decided you were going to reach every house in a township for Jesus Christ and you were going to pray and you were not going to let go of God till God gave you a family out of there, and then on top of that, by the end of the year, you not only had reached every house with the gospel, gotten God to give you at least one family. And you know what? I like that verse that says that God gives us above and beyond what we can even imagine. What if you're praying for one and He happened to give you three? Wouldn't that be something? But at the end of that year, wouldn't it be neat also is if you would have also trained another soul winner and taken somebody as a trainee with you and trained them so by the next year they're willing to branch off and say, hey, I spent a year visiting with so-and-so. I didn't know how to go soul winning. I didn't know much about it. And you know what? I've watched them. I've learned. I've studied. I've practiced. And Brother Jerry, you know what? Maybe I'll take one of those townships and I can train somebody else. Now, how is this thing done? How is this thing done? How is this done about reaching souls and reaching the community? How is that all accomplished, Brother Jerry? Well, it's not accomplished sitting at home in the lazy boy watching the boob tube. That's not how it's done. It's not accomplished by even just preaching messages on it. That doesn't accomplish it. Hopefully it'll inspire something, but it won't accomplish it. This type of a work is accomplished when you get a church to have a church-wide soul-winning vision. And people say, you know what? This is our Jerusalem. And you know what? The devil's had it long enough. Amen. It's about time we organize as a great army of soul winners and do what they did in the New Testament. And I will tell you right now, if you dare to do this, persecution's on its way. Count on it. If you dare to do this, I mean, talk to Brother Hodge, and you know, he hasn't had one problem in the last 12 months. Never had a challenge, never had an obstacle, never had a personal attack. Buddy, let me tell you something. Get your Bible and get you a shirt pocket full of of gospel tracts and then roll your sleeves up and clench your fists because you're in for a fight. But in the midst of all of the attacks, you know what you find out in the book of Acts? They can't grind this old gospel train to a halt. The more they try to throw things on the track, the more it builds up speed and it crushes completely anything that's put before it. You know why? Because the person that's driving the engine is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just along for the ride. And so I want to challenge you to get excited about this. And we're going to be very specifically in April. Listen, this is just inspiration and instruction month. In April, we're going to put new programs into place. And we're going to do some things. And listen, this rise up and build thing, that's just not a cute saying for a banner so that we can spend $150 and hang something on the wall and then change it out in a year. This needs to happen this year in 2007 at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'm going to ask you to be very quiet right now and listen very intently because I believe that the Holy Spirit of God's wanting to communicate to all of us. When I listen, I can hear that still small voice. When I tune my spiritual ear in, He never fails to speak. I want you to be stirred. We have people all over this church, and folks are at all different stages of Christian growth and Christian gifts and ability, and I understand that. I don't try to spend a lot of time putting people on a guilt trip because I understand everyone in here has some limitations. We all have some. But wherever you're at, whatever your abilities are, the most important thing I think for you to develop is just a willingness of heart to go out and to do what you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Jerry, I don't even know how to be a soul winner. Would you go with a soul winner and learn? Brother Jerry, I know how to be a soul winner. I used to win souls all the time, and somewhere on a shelf or in a drawer is my old New Testament. I used to take soul winning. Why don't you find that thing and dust it off and lay it on the floor and get on your face and have an old-fashioned prayer meeting over it. Say, Lord, I used to take this Bible out and win souls. I want to do that again. Why don't some of you just ponder the map either tonight or Wednesday night, or most of the time the church is unlocked during the week. We're pretty busy around here. Why don't you come in here and just ponder the map. Say, God, I'm going to look at this map till you break my heart over something. I want to get involved. I want to do something. I believe something. You'll experience a relationship with God and the power of God upon your life like you never have. Your Christianity is going to ignite and get excited. And you'll get to bring people into the kingdom of God. What a privilege that is. Heavenly Father, we look in awe at what you've done. Brother Hodge, I didn't know till a couple of days ago that he was even coming through the area. Boy, that presentation was powerful, and I believe it prepared our hearts for what we heard tonight. Thank you, Lord. He'll be leaving, departing, going on, him and his dear wife, to the mission field that you've called them to reach. But we're here, and this is our mission field. And sometimes it's easier to get burdened over a picture on a slide presentation than it is to get burdened about something that's just two blocks away or the next county over. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to reach our Jerusalem in a powerful way. Help us, Lord, to energize the soul winners that we have. Give us daily opportunity, Lord, an intense burden. Help us to cease not, no matter what comes into our life, no matter what difficulties, testing, persecution, just regroup and go again, regroup and go again, regroup and go again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.